This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow. Live from Buku Daiquiris and Cajun Eats on Richmond, this is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, sports mappers, welcome to the fray. It's The Usual Suspects on a Monday. We are coming to you live from Buku, 5600 Richmond Avenue, Richmond at Chimney Rock. It is a fantastic place. I'm telling you, the food, if you like Cajun food, you will love this place.
The food is
absolutely fantastic. The daiquiris are on point. Lots of TVs to watch. The baseball now, the football later. A beautiful people environment, if you know what I mean. Right here, conveniently located in the Galleria area, you need to stop on by. We will be here till 4 o'clock, but they will be here much later than that.
Cali Boy and TX on Twitter said, have you guys tried chocolate cake with gravy yet? Hell no.
And I never will.
No. Never. Is that Cali Boy and TX, is that a Cajun thing? Because ain't no damn way I'm eating gravy on chocolate cake.
It doesn't sound like a smart thing. Let me say that.
It ain't happening.
Putting gravy, like brown gravy on cake? No,
nope.
Sir. Nope. Not going to do it. So we've already covered a lot of ground. Oh, there you go.
Oh, yeah. So we've got a couple of folks that want to talk UFC with us.
We got
Who's
Johnny
up first,
and Beaumont,
Nick?
If you guys want to get to him first.
Yeah, Johnny, what's up, man?
What's going on, guys? Love the show, first off. And Barry, I'm going to have to agree with you. If Khabib, when he came off, and I think one of the other guys is saying that McGregor made the first cheap shot, when he climbed over that fence, over the ring, out of the ring, did you think he was coming over to bite McGregor over for a drink? No, he was coming aggressively to fight. So if it's his fault he wasn't looking when he got hit. I mean, he was coming to fight. I mean, so that's not a cheap shot. Not to me. Okay. Not where I'm
he
from.
Was jumping. That's fair, but he's jumping over the cage to defend Khabib. He wasn't even looking at Conor. He wasn't jumping over the fence to fight Conor. He was jumping over the fence to defend Khabib. And he wasn't even looking
jumping,
at him.
But if you jumping over the fence, you're not going to have drinks. You're going to fight someone in McGregor's camp. And if McGregor is like me, as well as everybody else, you're protecting your family.
Fair enough. So you throw a punch. Fair enough.
That's not a cheap shot. You got to say, if he stepped off that ring, his head should have been on the swivel expecting anything. And that's not a cheap shot to me.
We appreciate the phone call, Johnny. If there's anybody that sees is looking another way and gets punched in the face, sir, that is called a cheap shot. He jumped
okay,
the fence.
Okay, but Nick, if you're going to make
fence,
that point.
He was looking to defend Khabib, and he was not looking at Conor. Look at the video. It's a cheap shot.
But
now,
Nick,
even if it wasn't. Look. Hold on.
No,
even
no,
if it
no,
wasn't
you're
a cheap
excusing
shot,
the second
if
part
it, even if it wasn't
of that.
A cheap shot, even if it wasn't a cheap shot, don't get mad when you get hit. You
but
threw
my,
the first
but my
punch.
My point is you're going to say if someone's not looking when you punch them, it's a cheap shot. That's exactly what happened to Conor from behind from one of Khabib's camp in the red shirt.
Right.
He also
so don't
got
get upset.
Cheap shot.
You have no room
okay,
to ground.
But you can't say both. You can't say you started it, but it's not a cheap shot.
It absolutely is a cheap shot. He absolutely started it, and I can absolutely say that because that's what happened in the video.
You can't have it both ways. You can't.
I'm not
say
having
that,
it both ways. Connor threw the first shot, whether it's a cheap shot or not. He threw the first shot. What else do you want to know? What else do you want to know? He threw the first shot. They didn't come in the cage for no reason.
Okay. I'm just saying, regardless of the one on the fence, he got sucker punched.
So
that happened.
You threw a
he
punch after
punched.
The fight. That guy wasn't a licensed fighter.
That guy was in the cage, though. Another guy came from the stands, jumped the cage from behind on Conor, and punched him in the face. That is absolutely a cheap shot.
Well, we'll have to
agree. That's the guy that they're talking about is probably going to have his visa revoked and won't be allowed back in to the country.
We'll have to agree to disagree on that one. Big E, you're on The Usual Suspect. What's up, man?
Big E. Hello? Yeah.
Go ahead, let's go.
The first punch. In my opinion, what I saw, Conor McGregor threw the first punch when he was on top of the cage. Then the other guys got in the ring, and then they started defending their partner. I don't like Conor McGregor. I don't like Dana White. Dana going to strip him from his title. I think all that is wrong.
All right, fair enough.
Okay.
We appreciate the call, man. I mean, yeah.
Anybody else on the...
And there's nobody on the UFC. But, yeah, look, at the end of the day, look, cheap shot or not, there's a lot of people that made mistakes. And Khabib probably made the first one. But if you consider everything that was done from an overall perspective, I'm not crucifying Khabib, and I'm not defending Conor. I'm just not. I just can't
do
it.
Yeah, that's kind of weird, though. I mean, there's plenty of blame to go around. It seems like you're okay with Khabib's actions and not with Conor's. And if you think about it, Conor was defending his guys because he sees somebody from another camp going over the fence, and he's thinking, what's going on here? That's where my camp is, and these dudes from Khabib's corner are headed that way. What would you do?
I don't remember ever saying I was okay with his acting or whatever he did. I never said he was okay.
You just did.
I just said I'm not crucifying for him and suspend him for a year. That's what I said. I didn't say I was okay with it. Okay? It's only the 47th time that that's happened in MMA when someone jumps out of a cage. It's just not on a big stage and people don't know about it. It just happened in Bellator not too long ago. The guy got fined $4,900. It's not the end of the world. It's not the first time someone jumped a cage.
By the way, the fines and suspensions will usually be handed down by the athletic commission and not the UFC.
Do you guys think, Nick, you say a year. That seems to me, that's as an outsider looking in, that's
yeah, but
excessive.
It was too much of a brawl. It's too much of a brawl that he caused. A lot of times when you jump the fence, it doesn't turn into that big of a brawl. They literally had like 50 cops around the cage because they knew something like this could happen.
The difference between what Conor McGregor did and what Khabib did, the difference between the two is Khabib went into the stands where fans could have been involved just by being innocent bystanders. Conor was around other fighters within the organization. It was still a criminal act and this, that, and the other. But I think Khabib's big mistake was once you go outside of that fence, you're now involving. It's like going in the stands at a basketball game or a baseball game. I mean, you're in the stands.
Sure, it's the
now.
Same thing. The NBA.
That's probably why the punishment from the Athletic Commission and or the UFC will be more severe than what happened with Conor. Conor's was a criminal offense and damage against property and other things. But in this, to them, they were jeopardizing fans of the sport.
Plus, you're putting yourself in harm's way for a lawsuit.
You guys do know that there's a safety blanket around the cage. You're not going into the stands when you jump the cage. There's media. There's security.
Yeah, I've been.
There's
I've
about
been to a
10, 15,
fights.
20 feet before you get to the stands. I mean, it's not like there's just boom, like in the basketball court. You're 2 feet and boom, you're in the stands in the stands with the fans. There's a bit of a safety blanket. And just remember, when he threw that dolly, multiple people were infected. People's quality of life could have been affected. Glass getting shattered in fighters' eyes. He cost his boss money. He cost his boss millions of dollars. He injured people. He could have affected their quality of life. He could have killed somebody. And that's supposed to be less of a punishment than him jumping the fence?
I mean, to me, they're two completely different things.
But is it a like less, that should be less of a punishment? You throw a dolly through glass. Glass goes into someone's eye. And you know how personal that takes, because 25 eye surgeries I've done for my dad. Quality of life sucks when you can't see. And that's supposed to be less of a punishment than someone jumping a cage that's happened 47 times. A million times.
It doesn't matter, though, Nick. It doesn't make it right.
Okay.
You can't justify it just because
my
other
opinion,
people have done it.
If you throw a dolly and shatter glass, you deserve more of a punishment.
Robberies,
that's my
that
opinion.
Doesn't make everything okay. It doesn't make it okay just because other people have done it. You have to control yourself. And I understand, like I said, I've been to a few MMA fights in my time. I understand there's a barrier there. But once you go outside of that cage, it's a whole different ballgame now. It's a whole different perspective on the severity of it. So I'm just saying, it sounds to me like you're giving Khabib a pass.
I am not giving him a pass. I said suspend him. I said suspend him, Barry. What are you talking about? I said suspend him for a year. What are you talking about?
I mean, okay.
All right, we'll agree to disagree. We got a little bit more to get to before we throw it over to the Blitz, and they'll take you home from between 4 and 7 o'clock. But we are simulcasting on SportsMap 94.1 and ESPN 97.5. If you do want to join the show, you know how to reach us, 713-780-3776. You can call, you can text, you can hit us on Twitter. Back with more of the final hour. It is The Usual Suspect.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow. Live from Buku Daiquiris and Cajun Eats on Richmond, this is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Bauer ready. The pitch is hit down the left field line, headed toward the corner. This is going to be a hit. It's going to be extra bases, and it might clear them all. Altuve is in. Here comes Bregman. He'll score. Gurriel to third. He stops there. Into second with a double is Gonzalez. Another huge hit for Marwin Gonzalez. 4-2 Astros here in the seventh.
Hey, how about that? Your Astros doing it again on the verge of a clean sweep of the Cleveland Indians. That is the way we like to do our baseball in the big city.
Woo.
As the Astros are doing what they need to do. I did not see this coming. I think, Barry, you and I both thought it would go five. But the Astros getting the contributions. Nick and I were there over the weekend. I said to him several times, I wrote the article for Sports Map last night about it. The reason why I feel so good about this team now, when I was a little uneasy about the way they were entering the playoffs, is the fact that last year you went through the names of Peacock as your long reliever. And, of course, we know he didn't make the roster. But you had your guys that stepped up big. Marwin was a guy that stepped up big last year at the plate. You got contributions from a Bregman when he wasn't what he was this year. And now you look at the tables turned on another season, and you look at, like, Maldonado. Not only does he play great defense in game one, but he hits a home run to give you an insurance run. You look at the fact that Marwin came into the game today hitting .750 as the leading hitter in this lineup. And you go up and down the list and say, sure, you're still getting contributions in a big way from Springer and from Bregman. Altuve only hitting .250. Correa struggling with back injuries. But how about Tyler White in his first playoffs where he's really making a difference? He's hitting the ball. Marwin continues to stay red hot. Josh Reddick, who was as good as he was in the regular season a year ago, he was awful in the playoffs. And now look at him. He's got four knocks in this series, and he continues to make contributions today. AJ pushes the right buttons. He puts in Tony Kemp. What does Tony Kemp do? Gets on as the leadoff man, gets to second base, ends up scoring the tying run, and they go from there. It's a great team effort again by this Astros ball club. Yes?
Yes. Bauer also struggling.
Third game in a row you see Trevor Bauer, so you're not going to have to worry about him as a starting pitcher in this series. And I think that's huge, too, because going in, we talked about the rotations. If all things are considered and everybody's healthy, Bauer pitches game two for you if you're the Cleveland Indians. Because he wasn't, I think that kind of set Terry Francona's rotation back a little bit, and they're not going to be able to recover from that.
Well, if he pitched like he's pitching out of the pen, it wasn't going to be pretty either way.
Well, but he hadn't pitched in a month, and he was coming back off a liner off of his leg, and he was trying to get his confidence back and then find his location again, and that's hard to do this late in the season. So,
a couple of texts from the text line, a couple of folks disagreeing with Nick, a couple of folks disagreeing with me. And then somebody said, Joel, who are you going to root for if it's the Brewers and the Astros in the World Series? So the people want to know, who you got? Brewers versus Astros, who are you rooting for, Joel? The city of Houston wants to know.
Brewers versus Astros, I mean, look, to me, I've said this, and I have buddies at the Rockets that were asking me about it because they said National League Championship Series, it's your wife's Dodgers against your Brewers. Look, I want the Brewers to go far, but I love the Astros. I have just, ever since I moved here and I was a part of the 100 lost seasons and I saw the way that they built this team the right way, they drafted the right way, they did things the right way, I have become more and more a fan of the Astros, and I want to see this team succeed.
You could have just said Astros.
Well, no, I got to give you a reason why.
Now,
because otherwise I look like the homer that's just going to say, oh, Astros, of course.
The funny thing is on that call that Nick played coming back from the break is when Marwin hit that opposite field double, the announcer says, this could clear the bases, obviously overestimating Yuli Gurriel's speed. Because when he goes in, Gurriel stops at third. It was like, yeah, we all pretty much knew that was going to happen. Have you watched Gurriel run? Although this year it's better, but he always looks like
it's
he's
not
in
the
pain
piano
when he's
on the back of one Brian McCann.
No.
But it ain't exactly a Tony Kemp or Shaw situation either.
He's not fleet of foot, that is for sure.
So Astros looking good right now. And that's a good sign because, if they go on and finish it off here today, then they have to just play the waiting game. Lots of rest. You can set the rotation. Guys will be ready to go because the Yankees and Red Sox are guaranteed to go four, could go five. So that's a good position to be in if you're a Houston Astro.
Absolutely. I was curious if the schedule, if they don't sweep. Oh, it's 3:35 tomorrow. Are we running the game again if the Indians mount a comeback?
Yeah, but not just like today.
It'll be a 94-1. Okay, yeah, good. Yeah. I like it.
So I just like the resilience of this team too. Again, Saturday the same way. They were down 1-0. Looked like they couldn't get anything going offensively. And boy, I'll tell you what. Pretty easy to say that Marwin Gonzalez is the MVP of this series if it ends today because he had the big hit Saturday. Got the big hit again today.
Yeah. I'll tell you, it's funny because we were talking about Correa last time he was up. He's at the plate now, just got hit. It's funny because I thought there was two things could have happened with Correa. Either he slumped so bad that he would continue to slump, or like similar to what, remember Colby Rasmus a couple years ago in 2015, where out of nowhere he just comes in and lights up the playoffs.
Yep.
I thought if there's anyone that's going to do that, it could be Correa. Where he just puts it all together or he finds his rhythm in the playoffs. He's obviously not doing that. The guy that's doing that is Marwin. Marwin is the Colby Rasmus of this year. He's just on fire. Him and Bregman. I mean, you can't sleep on what Bregman is doing.
No, no. And even
when
Springer.
You look at the list of guys that he has hit home runs in the playoffs against, they put it out there. It was like Sale and Kenley Jansen.
All former All-Stars.
Yeah, Jansen and now Bauer. And it was just ridiculous. I forgot the list. But his postseason home runs that he's hit off of pitchers, it's a who's who of pitchers.
But then you can't sleep on Springer either because you talk about that. How about talking about the fact that Springer with his home run in game one meant that in five straight postseason games he hit a home run, and that's a streak that's just unheard of in baseball.
Yeah.
And he's got another one today. So he didn't get one Saturday. He got another one today. So that's six out of the last seven playoff games he's played in. And one of the things I asked him in the postgame press conference was what people forget, the evolution of where he came from. Because you remember, because you are always on top of these things. A year ago in the playoffs, they wanted to move down. They wanted to have him take time off. They said he couldn't hit anymore, and things had to be done. And lo and
behold,
going into
the playoffs.
Yeah, AJ stuck with him in the playoffs. He's the World Series MVP. He comes out and he starts the playoffs this year the same way, and he's just gotten all that momentum to be confident. He said he's now found a way to relax.
I remember having those arguments with people where there were so many people calling the show and clamoring to have Springer move down.
Yep.
And I remember saying, you guys are dumb. You don't move a guy like that down. He was the catalyst for your offense. He'll figure it out at work. Do it. It's the same thing when I suggest they move Bregman up to the two-hole from the sixth spot.
Exactly right.
Then everyone was like, oh, no, you don't mess with this. No, this is what managers do. These are the decisions that they make. And fans sometimes, and I get it, you get passionate and knee-jerk reactions happen. But guys like Bregman and Springer and those guys, you have to, and Correa is a perfect example. You don't move Correa, down to the nine spot necessarily. Well,
he's at seven.
I know he's tumbling, but you got to let a guy like that work it out. You got to let a guy like that try to hit out of it. When you're surrounded with guys that can hit, you can fade a Correa going 0-for in the middle of that lineup. You can fade that
as long as your other role players are able to pay the pieces. At the same time, you can say with Correa, he has a legitimate injury. So it's injury-driven why he is going through what he's going through. Springer didn't have that excuse last year. He was healthy, and he was just struggling. Bregman, when everybody was getting on you and you were calling listeners stupid, which is a great way to build up listenership.
I didn't say that.
Just dumb. At the same time, you look at it and you say, it's one thing if you give the guy the benefit of the doubt because they're hurt, but in two of the three cases, they weren't hurt. They just weren't hitting.
Yeah. Yeah, I would agree with that. Yeah, that's pretty accurate. By the way, Tyler said on Twitter, Tyler Bauer blows it again. That's so great. That.
Who's the happiest Astro with that?
Yeah, Bregman.
No, Gerrit Cole.
Oh, that's right. Cole.
They hate each other. They were teammates in college at UCLA. Both.
But
top
I totally
five
forgot
picks.
About Bregman calling him Tyler Bauer. Then homers off of him in the playoffs.
Yeah, off
how
Twitter,
awesome
yeah.
is that?
Yep, yep.
Yeah.
And I'm telling you, and Nick, you can attest to this too. I was telling Barry about this weekend, the fact that Bregman's got that extra hop in his step. That kid right now, not only is he's cocky, but he is confident. I don't think that there's a situation in baseball right now that he wouldn't feel like he has the upper hand the way he walks into a room and the confidence he has based on what he's been doing.
Was that for me or Nick?
Yeah, I mean, he was. Especially the way he walks into the media rooms. He just has this way about him.
I like it.
There's like a bounce when he walks in. He doesn't really care, and it doesn't bother me. I know it does come off a bit cocky, but it doesn't bother me. And partly because he's
like Vinsky?
Yeah, almost worse. Bit. Yeah, he bounces on the balls of his feet, and then like when he walks in, he looks at everybody in the media room. He goes, "How y'all doing? Let's do this." And when he's done, he gives the same stare like after he hits a home run at the end of the dugout. Stares at everybody, and goes, "See y'all tomorrow." It just bounces out, and you're like, this kid's on top of the world right now.
AJ kind of does that too, though. He'll answer the questions and seem like he's nice to everybody, and then as soon as there's a pause, he just grabs his stuff and he's out. He's like, okay, that's it, and he's gone.
Well, and the funny thing was, I think it was yesterday when they were talking about him and asking him to describe, like, what is it about this team, the way they played on the road, their road record, everything like that, and he looked at everybody and just went, we're pretty good at baseball. I mean, that's awesome. That's the short answer right there.
That is awesome.
All right, we got a half hour to go on the show, and we would love to have you be a part of it. 713-780-3776. Call, text, hit us on Twitter. Final half hour. We're coming up next. It's The Usual Suspects.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow, live from Buku Daiquiris and Cajun Eats on Richmond. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, 30 minutes to go on the clock. Sportsbet 94.1, ESPN 97.5. It's The Usual Suspects coming to you live from Buku, where the staff is absolutely friendly and fantastic. The food is out of this world. The daiquiris, well, they'll treat you right as well. The promo team is here giving you away some free eats and treats. Oh, no, they're not giving those away. They're eating them themselves because you have to indulge when you're here. They do have other things that they are giving away, T-shirts, koozies, movies, candy, and such. It's Barry and me here. Nick back at the studio. Astros. 4-2 lead heading to the bottom of the seventh.
What did I miss? Somebody asked us about Blummer's new commercial for the postseason. What did I miss there?
I haven't seen it, but I believe it's his audio as part of the whole Ken Griffey Jr. ad letting him play.
Is it McCannonball or is it?
I don't know which audio clip.
Jake from Rake Farm.
Yeah, I'm not sure about that.
Love both of those calls, by the way.
Saw Blummer over the weekend, though, and he said he obviously loves being a part of our show when we call on him. And he said now that he's not doing any more TV, call on him. So we will be doing
that. Yeah, we need to get him on this week. Let's make that happen.
We can try to make
Michael Brooks on Twitter had a question. He said, would you guys take a chance on Eric Flowers if he's released from the Giants? Would be an experienced lineman, may not be great, but maybe a change of scenery would help him.
I would.
You would?
I would. I'm not saying sign him. I'd bring him in, work him out. See, because what you got right now is, like you and I have said, Nick said, we've been talking about this for a while. They tried to upgrade the line in the offseason, and it looks like it actually took another step back. Deshaun is running for his life. The best way to make him effective is to get him completely out of the pocket. And if you can kick the tires on a guy that has some experience just to see if he's got anything left in the tank, it doesn't hurt you. Bring him in, work him out. If he looks like he could possibly be any kind of help or a step up from what you have, then do it.
I mean, my thing is do you really need another Julian Davenport on this team? That's pretty much what he is, skill-wise. Rank. I mean, when you look at where he falls amongst offensive linemen now in his career, do you need more junk on this team?
I mean, if you're classifying it as a slam dunk junk, I mean, I don't know. Some guys, there is some validity to the point that sometimes a guy just needs a fresh look. He needs fresh scenery. He needs to get out of a dark place where he feels like either he's not going anywhere or the environment, the coaching staff doesn't believe in him for whatever the reason. I've seen it happen a lot of times where a guy just has the wrong environment, but you put him in the right environment where he feels comfortable with his coaching staff. He buys into what they're teaching him and telling him to do and what they run, and it's a system he's familiar with, and they go.
Well, if that was the case, then all these guys would be a lot better.
I'm not saying it happens all the time, but I'm saying it is, you know, again,
I agree.
What
with
do
you
have to lose bringing him in?
I agree with you working out, but I mean, at the end of the day, you've already got 5, 6, or 7 of those guys. You don't need another one. You needed to go out and sign somebody that was worth a flip, and you didn't do that. So now you've got to mull over questions of, well, do we bring in Eric Flowers if he's cut? That's where they're at. That's pretty sad.
It's sad because on the other note, the one that I kept pressing for because it was in your own backyard, because he was appearing all the time at promos for this station when they were doing remotes for some of the poker places, Adrian Peterson would have been a perfect look last night for a team that was in desperate need of a running back while Foreman continues to get healthy and Blue was just bleh. You know? You could have probably got him on the cheap. He's had a really nice start of the season with Washington. You'll see him up close and personal tonight. But there was a guy, because we said from the start of this, before the season even started, look, they're going to struggle with depth at the running back position. If that's the case, why not kick the tires on Adrian Peterson, see what he had left in the tank, see if he really truly was ready to give it one more go. It works. It's worked out for Washington. It could have worked out for your Texans.
Peterson's number is not all that terrible.
Well, they're better than Blue, let me tell you that.
He's averaging 4.2 yards a carry.
Which ain't bad.
No, he's got three touchdowns. He's got five catches for 100 yards. Man, not too shabby. Not for the season, at least. Yeah, he's put up 96, 20, and 120 over their first three games. That 20 yards against the Colts, I don't know what I missed there, but that's not that great, but... 96 and 120, you'll take that.
No doubt. That's what
I'm saying.
Of course,
that was the Cardinals' defense that's
And you think
garbage.
He wanted to play in
and
Washington?
And a Packers defense that's...
All right, I'm done with you. Do you think he wanted to play in Washington or he would have been much happier playing right here in his own backyard?
You know as well as I do, though, is McNair going to sign a guy like that with the history of the child abuse allegations and all that? I mean, he probably doesn't want that. That's not McNair's style, man.
At some point, speaking of that, going to have to get over.
Did you see Eric Reed kneeling before the game for the Panthers? Wasn't that the team that came out and said right away once the NFL started talking about potential fines for its players if they knelt? Wasn't it the Panthers that said, "Well, we'll pay our team's fines"? Or was it
the Dolphins? Did it?
Was it the Dolphins?
I think it was the Dolphins.
I thought it might have been the Panthers. Maybe I was wrong.
I thought it was the Dolphins or the Jets, but regardless, he actually played well, too. So
yeah, he held to his guns, though. He said, you know, I'm not going to change my stance on anything, but he went out and backed it up on the field as well, so that's good.
Yep, yeah, so he played. Other news and notes, are you a little surprised because it caught a lot of people off guard? David Barron's now writing about it, but AT&T Sportsnet made a couple changes under the radar. Bart Ennis, no longer a member of the AT&T Sportsnet crew. His contract was not renewed.
I did not hear that.
Bart has carried over, whether it was HSE,
or
if it was Fox Sports, or if it was CSN, or AT&T Sportsnet. He has always been a staple amongst the broadcasts for the Rockets, the Astros, and their cable affiliate, whichever it may be. And now he's no longer with the network. And on a related note, the Rockets have hired him to be their studio host for the games this year.
Well, at least he got
it. So he landed on his feet to some degree. But kind of unfortunate that Bart, after all those years of service, is no longer going to be doing those two teams and all those games.
Hey, Nick, is Clarence still on the line?
He is. You want to get to him?
Yeah, let's get his call in real quick. Clarence, we'll talk NFL. What's up, Clarence?
What up, Clarence? How y'all doing? Who day?
What's up?
Game day. I'm ready.
What's your prediction?
More importantly, prediction, first off, Brees is going to break it in the first half.
Okay.
Secondly, they're going to win by 10. I'm going to give it 10.
There you go.
It's going to be a 10-point spread.
What's on your mind?
NFL, first off, I'm going to need Texas fans just to slow down and calm down. Y'all are too happy about this sort of win for y'all to be up here doing every kind of meme in the world. Look, I understand. We won against the Browns. I was not happy about it when we won against the Browns with a game we should have lost. Texans?
But Clarence, look, you know it means more, regardless of the teams are going anywhere or not. It always means more to Texans fans to beat any Dallas team.
And I understand. Look at the Falcons. And I'm laughing every Sunday when I see the Falcons nowadays. But my more important thing, let's get all that aside. What is the NFL going to do about the roughing the passing rule? This has gotten way out of hand, and is costing too many teams games and too many players sack. I said it last night. Jadeveon Clowney had Dak Prescott dead to right when he rushed up the middle. Had him in his arm and kind of just held up and pulled up limp because he didn't want to get a roughing the passer penalty and have his whole weight fall on his body. And it's happening more times than not. People are getting hurt. And it's ridiculous about what's going on with that. And it's costing teams games, actual games because of this. What do you guys think?
Appreciate the call, Clarence. I do agree with you. I think that it's out of hand. We gave the example earlier in the show, the guy from Buffalo that held up on a sack, a sure sack. Once he had the quarterback in his grasp, he let go. Quarterback just takes off running, and he looks like a fool because he doesn't want to get a penalty. It's out of control. But I got to bring this up before you answer. Mm-hmm. Did you watch the Texans game? Mm-hmm. Did you see most of the commercials? Did you see the Call of Duty commercials?
Oh, with Clay?
Oh, my God. Yeah. That Clay Matthews Call of Duty where he was – at one point, he's standing in a pasture. And they're, like, roughing the cabbage. And then he's on the beach. They're, like, roughing the water.
And yellow flags kept coming in.
Damn. Both of those commercials, they were like, TJ. He was like, what? He was like, JJ, what? Like, yeah. Both of them were absolutely hilarious. But to see – I bring up the Clay Matthews because – it's literally that's how silly it's gotten, and everybody knows it.
If you were watching the Vikings and the Eagles, Michael Bennett gets in on Kirk Cousins. He just wants to wrap his arms around his legs so he can come down. His arms slide down his legs as he's trying to bring him to the ground. Yeah. That's roughing the passer.
Yeah.
And it's not just roughing the passer, because if you look at the play,
hit his butt and then slid down.
Landon Collins of the Giants had the right to the ball, eyes on the ball. He went to intercept the ball. As he went to intercept the ball, he made contact with Devin Funchess of the Panthers. They called pass interference.
That's crazy.
It's the officiating is getting worse by the week in the NFL. The credibility is going out the window because of it, and it's becoming more of an issue. It's not going away. So that's a shame as we continue to get into the heat of the NFL situation right now. We're going to have one segment to go in the big show. Before we get to that, we're going to get to this.
Yeah, hey, guys, Cowboys and Indians Texan Kitchen, man. It's a fusion of both Southern comfort and Indian food. You're going to love this place. If you have not been out to 1901 Taft in Midtown, get out there and check it out. The menu is outstanding. You're going to absolutely love the food. You're going to love the company you get. Haas and Imran and their crew, fun to hang out with. They're always out there. I got a couple of Instagram posts from them this weekend where they were tagging me, folks saying that they had heard the message. They went out and tried it. Folks drove in from Beaumont to try that chicken fried steak. I'm telling you, man, the food is worth the drive. And I'd be willing to bet you if we could find those folks from Beaumont, they would validate that. Because everybody that's gone and eaten at Cowboys and Indians Texan Kitchen has gotten back to me either on Instagram or Twitter or private message and said exactly what I've been telling you for over a year now. The food is ridiculously good. It's amazing. You're going to love it. The fusion of both Southern comfort and Indian food means you have a ton of options to choose from, whether it's chicken curry or chicken fried steak, whether you want to get that Himalayan heat burger, one of the best burgers in this city, but you can get it as a slider. They've got healthy options if you just want to get some grilled chicken and green beans. Man, so much to do. I promise you, you could probably go there for 2 months straight and not eat the same thing twice. That's how diverse their menu is. Check them out on Instagram, CNI713. Go look at the pictures of the food that they have and fall in love with it, and then go try it and let me know what you thought about it. You're going to love the place. 1901 Taft in Midtown. Don't forget, you can have it delivered via DoorDash, Uber Eats, or Grubhub if you don't want to drive out. Whatever you do, guys, make sure you take your taste buds on a delicious journey around the world. It's Cowboys and Indians Texan Kitchen, y'all. There's nothing like it.
To call into the HR&P listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN.
Dial the phone.
Looking to outsource your company's HR and payroll? Get the top initiative and smart solutions with HRP.net.
This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow, live from Buku Daiquiris and Cajun Eats on Richmond. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, here we go. Final segment of the show. Buku, 5600 Richmond Avenue, you should be here because the Astros game, well, it's wrapping up. But guess what? Monday Night Football right around the corner. You want unbelievable Cajun food? I mean, it is fantastic. You want some sweet treats like a daiquiri that will knock your socks off and make everything in the world better and brighter?
Well, you need to be here at Buku. It is fantastic. Barry and I had lunch here. It was extraordinary.
Pocket's coming through in the clutch with the Reese's peanut butter cups.
Those are not on the menu here at Buku. But,
no, but I was going to steal some candy out of the candy jar at the promo table. No chocolate, but she came through in the clutch.
Okay. You know who else came through in the clutch again today?
Who?
George Springer.
What?
Two Springer dingers on the day.
I hate you and I hate you.
Hit him all the way to Galveston.
Yeah, I can't go. I can't wait to go to my Twitter because last time his first Springer dinger, my timeline blew up.
Yeah.
So I'm sure I've got a bunch of tweets waiting for me again.
Ready for this?
What?
George Springer now has as many postseason home runs as Barry Bonds in 45 fewer at bats.
Oh my!
And let's follow that up. He also has as many postseason home runs as some guy named Lou Gehrig in 11 fewer at bats.
Never heard of him.
So he sits in a pretty good spot in baseball history with his postseason antics.
All right, I'm going to ask you a question.
Exploits, sorry.
I'm going to ask you a question.
Yes.
Are you ready for the question?
Well, sure.
Who will go down as the better postseason hitter on this team, George Springer or Alex Bregman? If you had to pick one.
I noticed that you didn't throw Correa's name in there. I'm going to say Springer.
We're going to go Springer, huh? Because he already has the World Series MVP.
And he's got, year two here looks like it's going pretty well.
But look, again, we just talked about.
You can't talk me out of it. I gave you my opinion.
I'm only saying, look at the home runs that Alex Bregman, the home runs that he's hit off of the competition that he's faced.
I
understand. And
we both have
about,
our record. We're holding
think
our,
about
holding
World
on
Series
to.
When he had some of those clutch hits. That 15, game five, however many innings that thing went.
Think about hitting a home run in six of his last seven playoff games and two today.
Okay.
So you got your stat, I got mine. That's all I'm saying. Who are you taking?
Are
you taking Bregman or are you just trying to convince me to take him?
I would have to look at averages.
Oh, here we go.
Like who's got a better on base? Who's got a better OPS? That's what I want to know. Because it's one thing to hit for power.
I've got a nutcracker, so you can crunch some numbers.
But the point I'm making is it might be Springer because he may be getting on base more and his OPS might be higher. But I guess if I just had to go off an eye test, I would probably take Bregman.
Okay.
But I don't think you can go wrong with either pick the way that they've played.
No. I mean, look, we talked about the core four, and a year ago, I think if you would have put them in order – at least, and it would have changed from the start of the playoffs to the end of the playoffs, too. But in order going into the playoffs, Altuve would have been your number one. Now, a year later, Altuve might be your number three because of the two guys we just mentioned and because of the huge fall off of Correa, whether it be back related or not.
Yeah, that's a good point.
So the good news is, like I said, you got that core four, and you've got so many role players playing so well right now. And AJ's pushing all the right buttons. The fact that he made some substantial changes to the lineup today, he sat Maldonado, he played McCann, he put Tony Kemp at the end of the lineup as your second leadoff hitter. Tony Kemp came up big. He was the guy that got the leadoff, leading off the inning to put himself in position to score the tying run. So he's coming up big for them. He moved Correa down in the lineup. He moved Reddick up. Reddick has another hit. So everything's going right now for this team, and they're getting hot again at the right time. So that's fantastic.
Tyler said, Astros score every time y'all go to break. The producer, Nick, let's get these breaks timed out accordingly for the remainder of the game. I think it's pretty much over at this point.
Well, they're loaded for Marwin with one out in the eighth inning. Leading,
is this over? You're
leading
calling it?
5-2. I think it is because I think Presley does the eighth.
I think
Osuna does the ninth.
Yep.
Those guys have lined up and finished these games the right way, and they know what their role is on this team. So I think that's exactly it. Marwin with a hit. So there you go. More runs on the board. Insurance Ooh. Is all you need.
There you go. 6-2.
This is like the end of the Brewer-Rocky game yesterday. At a certain point, the Rockies just decided, we're done.
Screw it.
And the Brewers are like, it's raining. Can we need to get out of here? I don't want to see, have to show you three really bad swings on balls out of the strike zone.
Yeah.
But we need to go. We got to get up out of here.
Who you got tonight in the Monday Night Football matchup?
I took the Saints -6.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you think this one's even close?
I don't. I think it's going to be a very emotional night. I think Clarence is right on simply because of the fact that Drew Brees is only 201 yards away from the record, so I think they're going to go pass heavy in the first half, try to get that thing behind them as quick as possible, especially if it is a ball game at all, so it's not a distraction. And then they're going to go from there. Kamara is playing well. They get Mark Ingram back. I don't know if he's going to play or not, but I think that this is a game that New Orleans always steps up when it's time to make a statement on national TV, and I fully expect that today.
Is Washington giving up 14 points a game? That's pretty stout. I realize they've only played in three games versus everybody else's four or more, but pretty stout at 14.7 points a game. I was trying to look at their passing yards per game. That's also pretty damn low. 187 a game. How funny would it be if, for some reason, he ends up with, I mean, if Washington's given up 187, he ends up with like 195.
That would really be. what would be worse is he surpasses it, but then later technically sack or something, or a tackle for a loss on a pass play, and you're like, oh, no.
I was going to say 195 would be the most Saints thing to happen, but getting 203 and then sacked for a 10-yard loss, that would be the most Saints thing to happen.
Yeah. Or you know, it's a passing yards, right? So it's not on a sack, but passing yards would be a completion in the backfield or something like that.
No, I think a sack comes off your net passing yards.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
That one I wasn't aware of.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure that's the case. If you're sacked, it comes off of your passing yards in the NFL. Not in college, but in pros.
That is something I did not know.
I did not know that. Who's that, Nick? I did not know that.
Don't ask him that question. And don't talk about that topic on the air.
Is it People Ed Sullivan?
No, Johnny Carson.
Okay.
Yeah, it was Ed Sullivan on Johnny Carson.
No, it isn't. That's Ed McMahon on Johnny Carson.
Oh, Ed McMahon. Not Ed
That's
Sullivan.
Right. We had this conversation.
Yeah, we did. Yeah. We screwed it up last time, too.
and got bashed by the same people that I'm sure will bash us again.
Oh, boy. Thank God we only have 30 seconds
left.
AJ's
in studio listening, so you're going to get it.
Shut his damn mouth. I'm so glad I don't have to see his stupid face right now. By the way, I went 0-2 again.
Boy, as quick as you've been bragging when you started undefeated, you've come back to the crowd pretty quick.
But what did I tell you guys? As soon as I start bragging about it is when I'll start losing. It happens the same thing in fantasy. If I start off like 3-0, I start talking trash.
What a pro tip?
Don't brag.
Exactly.
Yeah, well, I'm learning about this thing called the hook because 2 weeks in a row, that 0.5 has got me both weeks. So I'm kind of pissed about that, but I'll have to choose wisely next time.
Yeah, I lost more my wisely. College game, but I took the Saints and the points tonight, and gave the points tonight, so we'll see what happens. Mm. Nick, how'd you do in your picks?
I don't know. I mean, the pick'em, I did 1-1 on AJ's pick'em.
Look at you.
I called there Mississippi State.
I can tell you guys don't want to ask about how our show picks went.
Yeah, I didn't even ask. I wasn't terrible. Bringing it up.
Yeah, y'all did pretty terrible.
I think you need to
don't
look
worry.
At that,
we'll
I
give
took
it.
The, I think I took the Cowboys, too, and gave the points.
No, you took Houston.
Okay, I think that you probably alter those picks in your spare time.
I wrote them down exactly the way you said them. You both did pretty lousy.
I'm pretty sure you didn't write anything.
I absolutely did.
You put them on your computer.
Well,
you
okay.
Didn't
write. I typed right, whatever.
All right, well, we appreciate you guys being a part of the ESPN experience here on ESPN 97.5 and the Sports Mappers on 94.1. Simulcast is going well. It's going to continue to go on because the Blitz is up next. That means Fred, AJ, Jung, they're going to take you home until 7 o'clock, and you don't have to do a darn thing. We'd like to thank the good folks over here at Buku, 5600 Richmond Avenue, for taking great care of us, and, of course, because they have great food and drink. You should stop by in time for Monday Night Football. We will be in studio again tomorrow as we continue to roll on. We look forward to talking to you then. But until then, y'all have a great night, everybody.
And I didn't know if they sniffed their own farts or not.
Yeah, boy.
Stream us on your car Bluetooth with the ESPN 97.5 app.
You must do it.
Brought to you by Saltgrass Steakhouse. Mmm, steaks and Bluetooth.